Well, anyway, it's a good time together, and we trust that there are some with us this morning. I know there are some from around our area who are a part of our church family at Timber Ridge Community Church, and I believe there's a few others from distant places as well when they heard that we're going to be live and they want to be a part. So welcome to you as well. Well, let's begin with prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can meet together via the airwaves, this technology you've given to us, Lord. It can be used for good or for ill, but this morning we trust that you might use it to speak to hearts, to encourage people in their lives, wherever they might be at this hour of the day. Lord, we just give you praise for your goodness to us, for watching over us. Lord, for all of us who are able to see and hear this morning, we do enjoy a measure of health and strength. Although there are many, even some watching and listening at this moment, who are in hard places physically in life. Lord, some are in the midst of treatment of one sort or other, and some are recovering. And Lord, we know there are some even in the hospital this morning who would remember before the throne of grace. Lord, I pray they might sense your presence, that your arm of protection, encouragement, healing would be around them in a special way. And know that they are missed from the gatherings of God's people today. Father, we would pray for our land today, pray for our president, so many other things that are in our hearts and our minds, some of which, Lord, you've called us to pray for. And so, Lord, we ask for wisdom for those who need special wisdom from above, particularly our medical people here and around the world, that, Lord, as they test and diagnose and prescribe and all of the things. Lord, we just pray that this terrible virus that's sweeping our world might soon be quieted and we might be restored again. And Lord, through all of this, I would ask that many would be drawn to yourself. And Lord, I'd pray that for myself and for our church family here. Lord, during these times, people need the Lord. And Lord, we need to draw closer to you as well. So help us this day and tomorrow, the days ahead, and help us to be mindful, Lord, of those round about us who might need a word of encouragement, a hand of help in some way. Lord, that we would be faithful, doing what we can do, doing what we can should do for your glory, helping, encouraging, loving one another. Now, Lord, I pray you might open your word to our hearts. You might open our hearts to your word in these few moments we have together. I pray this in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. I think two words, or I guess really one word now, that we so often hear on the airwaves, whether it be a TV or radio or the internet somewhere, is the word I just mentioned, this coronavirus. We hear that over and over again, and often it's followed closely by two other words. Can you guess what I might have in my mind? A coronavirus, and then a warning, particularly to seniors and the elderly. Now, I don't know if there's a difference between seniors and elderly and where you might fit in some of that or none of that along the way, but it is something that we need to be mindful for, and we need to be careful of, and we need to be in much prayer about as well. You know, someone said, is this the beginning of the end times? Well, I think every day we're closer to those end times that God's Word describes for us. And certainly it's a reminder that days will get worse, not better. And we need to be prepared. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be drawing closer and closer to Him as well. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look to God's Word. We want to see what God would say to us. And last Sunday morning at our church, we began a study of the book of Galatians. And it's a wonderful book, six chapters. And we want to pick up there today where we left off last time. So I want to begin reading, and I trust you have your Bibles. If you have a Bible somewhere, wherever you're at, if you can turn to the book of Galatians and the very first chapter, I certainly would encourage you to join with me. We'll be staying very close to our text this morning. And I hope that you will follow along. So, Galatians chapter 1, and I want to begin with verse 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Oh, so very strong words. The book of Galatians, it's been called the Declaration of Christian Independence, or simply Christian freedom. And so the Apostle Paul writes in a day, in his day, a day of tolerance. And, you know, well, tolerance was the watchword in those days. It's not unlike the days in which we live as well. You know, often we study God's Word, and what we find flies in the face of contemporary mind of our day, and too often what we read in God's Word flies in the face of what we find preached and taught in many churches today, sadly. You know, if you live in Florida like I do, and you're around any of the freshwater lakes and streams, it's not unusual to see a sign posted somewhere, "Beware, danger, alligators." Some of you have seen those, and there are some of those signs and some of those gators not far from where we live. But here in our text, Paul warns of an even greater danger, and it's a spiritual danger, it's an eternal danger. And it's regarding the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His great concern is simply the purity of the message of grace, the truth of the gospel as given to us in the Scriptures, in our Bibles. There are those who, in their preaching and teaching, are turning the gospel into no gospel at all. And then as we saw last week, those of you who were with us, as we looked at the first five verses of chapter 1, Paul, after a very brief greeting, he moves directly to his point, to the thrust, to this warning of this wonderful letter to a particular group of churches there in Galatia. He addresses these false teachers and all of those who would follow their teaching. He addresses them as turncoats, those who have turned away from the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know from his letter to the 1 Corinthians, Paul commands the believers there, he commends the believers there for their stand of the gospel. He said, you stand firm in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even with all their shortcomings, but here in Galatians, he moves very quickly from commendation in his greeting to consternation as you read down even in these first few verses of this letter. Look at verse 6 with me. You have your Bibles open, I trust you do. He says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ." Deserting or departing from. He's amazed, he's astonished that they are deserting, that they are departing from the gospel. You know, if you and I were to write a letter to someone, and some still do that, if you're to write a letter to someone you care about, often we would start something like, "Dear friend, how are you? And I am doing well, and I hope your day is good, and I'm sorry I haven't written for such a while," and then you go on, and then maybe kind of get to the more important things that you want to share. But here, the Apostle Paul, he gets right to the point. You know, if we were to write a letter that had to do with something very, very serious, you know, kind of sickness or death or something, we wouldn't use a whole lot of words. We would just get right to the point. And here the Apostle Paul does that as well. And this is a life and death issue, but really it's a spiritual life or death issue that he is pointing out. He says it's a matter of greatest importance. And so his point is, he's talking about deserters, or those who are turning away from the true, from the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he writes to the believers in Philippi, he's writing from jail. He's in a jail cell. And it's interesting, as he writes to that church, he he knew that there were some in that church who were rivals, if you will, of his. There were rivals. He said, I'm not concerned about that, he says. But the important thing is that in every way, he writes, whether in with false motives or pure motives, the important thing is that Christ is preached, and in that I rejoice. He wasn't concerned about lesser things, about the motives of the preachers. He was concerned about the content, the truth of what they were preaching. And so here in Galatians, he writes here in verse 8 and again in verse 9, he says, those who were preaching, they were preaching a different gospel, and he uses a word that's only used a few times in all of Scripture. Those who were preaching a different gospel, he said, they are to be, what does it say there in 8 and 9? You see it? Accursed. They are to be accursed for what they are preaching. Another word for accursed is condemned. Pretty straightforward, wouldn't you say? Pretty serious. Because here the problem is not motivation, but rather the essence of the gospel. It was the essentials of the gospel that was being tampered with. Something crucial. And it wasn't style. And it was the substance of the gospel that was most important to the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm amazed, I'm astonished that you are moving away from that which is most important. You know, people are beginning to desert the simplicity of the gospel message even today. The simplicity of the gospel message, that is, salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's a simplicity of the gospel. Salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed how quickly you are moving away. Deserting who? Deserting what? You look very closely there at verse 6. It says those who are preaching and believing a different gospel than the simple gospel, the clear gospel of God's word, they are deserting God himself. Deserting God himself. That gets my attention, doesn't it, yours? You have confessed faith in Christ, he writes to these believers. He says, you've turned from darkness to light, but now you're abandoning the simple truth of the gospel. Your mind has been turned away. And he says, I'm amazed that there are deserters in your church. You know, they were still showing up for worship on Sunday. They were still praying. They were still talking to others about Jesus, but they were turning to a different gospel. AWOL, we might say, absent without leave. And they were turning to a different direction with no thought of returning. Serious, and a serious warning and a serious letter where the Apostle Paul gets right to the point. Their desertion was a turning from God, the one who did something that no one else could do, the one who rescued or delivered them, as we see there in previous verses, and delivered them from sin and the consequences of sin. So today, people like the idea of holding on to their conception of God, but they are hardened to the thought of the gospel, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard many say something like this, well, you know, I really love God, and I know God loves me, but this gospel stuff, now that's another thing. You know, it's interesting, if you would look into our newspapers today or online, and you would look up churches in Ocala or churches in Cincinnati or New York or anywhere else, if you look that up in the paper or online, it'd be interesting to see all the churches that are listed. There would be a lot. We are a well-churched country, are we not? But you look down the list and you see all these names that are listed under churches. You know, LDS, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, right there among the the Baptist, and the, you know, you can go on and on with the rest, the one you're familiar with. Your church could very well be on the list in the area in which you live. Ours is. But many of them are not churches at all. What is a church? What is a Christ-honoring church? What is a true church? Simply, it's a gathering of called-out people trusting in the risen Lord, the trusting in God the Son for the forgiveness of their sins, and trusting in Him only for their salvation, trusting in Him only for eternal life. These others were or are preaching what? Another gospel. And what does the Scripture tell us here? Another gospel that does not, that will not, that cannot save. So what is the gospel? This is how someone put it, and I really can't add much to it. It's well said, better than I could. The gospel is that God is gracious to undeserving sinners, that none of us will ever be able to do enough, to be good enough, to make ourselves acceptable to God enough. Therefore, we have a problem. Unless God could come and deal with our problem Himself, the one who comes, he must be perfect. He would need to be a man. He would need to be God. He would need to fulfill the plan of all eternity. He would need to die in the place of undeserving sinners. And really, that is the essence of the foundation of the gospel, is it not? Someone must come from the outside who's perfect. Perfect. Perfectly man to take the place of mankind, you and I, and fully God. That's the gospel message, and that's what we must understand and what we must believe and what we must accept to be saved. And so that is the message of the gospel. That is the hope of the gospel. When we are made aware of our sins and our disinterest in the things of God, when we see that there is no way for us and no hope for us in ourselves to approach God, then and only then do we come to the end of ourselves, and there in our needs, we meet Jesus, or rather, Jesus meets us. I think of an old hymn that we don't sing very often, sang it a lot years ago, and part of it goes like this. He lifted me from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the time of earth alone, but not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Is that your testimony today? Is it? I trust that it is. And so this gospel that Paul has proclaimed earlier, people had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul on his missionary journey had come to the areas around Galatia, bigger area there, and he had stopped and he had preached and he had taught, and people came to faith, and there was little gatherings. They became churches, and they met regularly, and they were given information about how they should organize and respond and outreach and all these sort of things. And so Paul says, we know that you have come to faith in Christ. Now these preaching another gospel, all those preaching another gospel, they came along sometime later. The church was still young. The believers were still young in the faith. And they came along and they were saying something like this. He said, we know that Paul told you that you can stand in the presence of God by grace through faith plus nothing. But that's not the whole story, they would say. That's not the whole story. That's not right. That's not enough. And so what were they doing? They were adding something to the gospel which made it really no gospel at all. You cannot truly know Christ, they would say, unless you did what? Unless you were circumcised, unless you kept the Mosaic regulations, which we will teach you, and so that you might be made whole, that you might be made right with God. So there was this different gospel that started to spread. People became unsettled and people became fearful. An old preacher who I appreciate, and I know some of you do too, he lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s, J.C. Ryle is his name, And this is what he said. Listen, it just helps me. He said, true faith knows nothing whatsoever of merit about it. It is but laying hold of the Savior's hand, leaning on a husband's arm, taking a physician's medicine. It brings with it nothing to Christ but a simple man's soul. It gives nothing, pays nothing, contributes nothing, performs nothing. It only receives, takes, and grasps the gracious and glorious gift of justification, which Christ alone can give. I like that. This gospel, it gives nothing, pays nothing, contributes nothing. We do that, performs nothing. This gospel only receives, takes, and grasps when we receive, take, and grasp the glorious and gracious gift of justification, which is in Christ alone. What have you or those to whom you listen, what have they added to that simple gospel message? Many have. And many have for many years, sadly. And many have deserted the faith, and many are confused about the faith. The faith, the true gospel that saves unto eternal life. And so, no matter what our lot in life, either socially or financially, or whatever our age or whatever our residence, no matter what our religious background might be, the ground at the foot of the cross is level for all of those who will come to Christ alone for salvation. The Apostle Paul proclaimed to the Galatian church, they were born out of hearing and accepting the gospel. Then over time, there were those who came in and preached a different gospel, which was not a gospel, and there became dissenters and deserters. They were beginning to appear, and they were turners who were straying away from the gospel because they were tolerant of things that were being taught that were not found in the Holy Scriptures of God. This very holy book, the Scriptures of God that we have before us here this morning. Look at verses 6 and 7 again with me. This is what he says. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, that is, God, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this idea of distorting and disturbing, it's the idea of a clothes dryer. You know, we've got one of those clothes dryers. It's got a little window in the front, and you put them in there. You know how it works. And you look in there, and what do you see? You see, oh, the reds and the blues and the greens and the blacks tumbling around, all mixed up, all in disarray. And this is the word that he uses. Those who are preaching a different gospel, they are just confusing and causing disarray about the most important thing. They are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why we at our church, we're very careful to faithfully teach the Bible week after week, month after month. I trust that's your church too. Faithfully teaching God's Word. You know, people will often call me and they're new in the neighborhood or they're looking for a different church for some reason from where they've been attending, and they'll call and they'll say something like, well, you're the pastor, yeah. Well, could you tell me a little bit about your church? Which I'm glad to do. But I often ask a question in return. I said, well, what are you looking for in a church? What are you looking for in a church? And what's important to you? And sadly, not often do I hear back, we want a Bible teaching church. There'll be other things that they'll mention, good things, but sadly, not so often. We want a Christ-honoring Bible teaching church. What do you think that I hear the most often to that question, what are you looking for in a church? Be interesting to hear your answer. You know, the church is not for entertainment, although we enjoy being there with God's people. We laugh and we talk, and sometimes we cry and we eat together and a lot of other things. But the church is not for entertainment. But most importantly, it is that God's people become established in the truth of God's holy word, that they become grounded in the gospel, that their lives are being transformed into the what? Into the image of Christ. That's the purpose of the local church. A coming together to grow together, to look after one another. And these days, particularly during this virus thing, what an opportunity and what a challenge that you and I, as a part of a local assembly, wherever that might be, to step out and to reach out to those around about us, particularly those in the family of God, with a phone call at least. And well, I miss you this week. I miss seeing you on Sunday. You know, there was no church and I miss you. Is there anything I can do? How can I pray for you? What an opportunity during this terrible virus season to step out and to reach out and to look after. And let me add this. If you're waiting and you get upset because someone is not reaching out and reaching out to you, just let it be a reminder and a prompter for you to reach out to others. You have a phone. Many of us can text and we can do email. And think of those around about you, part of your church or family or friends or old family and friends who are somewhere else affected by this same terrible disease who could use a word of encouragement. And then don't forget to pray with them as well, or to at least to ask, my friend, is there something I can pray with you or for you about? If you're not comfortable praying on the phone, just remember to pray for them later on in the day. I mean, I appreciate your prayers for me and for my wife and my family. And I endeavor to pray for you as well. So no matter what the world, the weather, the virus, or the devil may throw against us, we can stand and we can be unmoved. And we can declare to any and all that indeed that Jesus is Lord, and He is Lord, and He is Savior of my life. And in Him alone is all my faith and is all my trust for time and for all eternity. Jesus, God's Word says, is a friend of sinners. And because I am a sinner saved by grace, He is my friend. Too. Is He your Savior? Is He your friend? Have you added or subtracted anything from the gospel message of salvation? Are you being taught something different than salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone? You know, last Sunday I gave to our people some homework as we began our study here, and last week it was read through Galatians twice. Someone got that mixed up a little bit, and they said they were reading through it every day, and that's a good thing too. So for those of you who haven't, it takes about 10 minutes to read through the brief six chapters. And homework for next week: read through it again and look for two key verses. Two key verses in all of that. And remember to pray for me, and I'll endeavor to pray for you as well. You know, so Lord willing, either in church or here, we'll look forward to seeing you in church. And if not in church, we'll meet here in my backyard. And if not here, we'll meet for sure in heaven. Lord bless you, each one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. I pray that people were encouraged today as we look together into your word. Help us, Lord, that we might be faithful even during these difficult times. And Lord, what a great time. It's a hard time, but it's a great time to share the love of Christ And so many are alone and fearful. Lord, we just thank you that you're our friend, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and he's our Savior for now and for all of eternity. We give you praise and glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.